Heavenly Father, we just pause at this moment to thank you for the many blessings that you bring into our lives. So many times, Lord, we take for granted or maybe overlook the fact that you've promised to never leave us and never forsake us. You said you'd be with us always till the end of the age. And Lord, anytime we have a need, all we have to do is call upon you, and you will answer us, and you will meet that need. And most of the time, you do it exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, because you're so generous to us. Father, we love you, and we ask that this word today would inspire us, encourage us, and challenge us to go forth and do the things that you've called us to do, and that we would bear fruit for your glory, and that people would know that we are believers in Jesus Christ because of the love that we demonstrate toward one another. Thank you, Lord, that your heart is a heart of compassion and love and forgiveness, and you have forgiven us of all of our sins, and therefore we can also forgive one another, and we can walk in harmony, unity, and peace, peace with God and peace with our fellow man. So, Lord, we just thank you for watching over us and keeping covenant with us through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name, the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus Christ, we pray and give thanks. Amen and amen. This morning's message is entitled, Your Father Knows. Your Father Knows. And I'm taking a passage from Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. And within that passage, we will be looking at just briefly what we traditionally call the Lord's Prayer. And it's not that I felt the Lord wanted me to focus on the subject of prayer, but in this passage there is a verse, and actually a verse that tells us our Father knows what we need before we ask Him. How many of you realize that? Your Heavenly Father knows everything that's going on in your life, and He knows exactly what you need before you ever ask Him for it. When God created Adam and Eve, I don't know how many years ago it was. I don't have the exact date, but I believe it happened. I believe it's a biblical truth, and I believe that Adam and Eve were the first man and woman, and God created them to procreate and have children, and they did. When we look at God instituting marriage and instituting family, it was His original plan for one woman to marry one man and live together for one lifetime. And that's God's model. Unfortunately, in the generation in which we live now, God's plan has not changed, but man has changed. And unfortunately, in the world and even in the church, the rate of divorce is more than 50%. And what does that say? Well, it says that half of the marriages have not worked. And that tells me that probably about 50% of the homes, especially if they had children, are broken homes. And that means that there are children that are suffering because a husband and a wife broke their commitment to each other, and they broke their commitment to their children. Now, is that an unforgivable sin? No, God forgives sin if we confess Him. Confess our sins to God. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. But oftentimes, either we or somebody else pays the penalty for our mistakes. Amen? And if you have a father and a mother, I'm looking back over my own life and I realize that even though I complained a lot and I didn't appreciate everything I had, at least growing up, I did have my father and mother with me my entire childhood. My father's still alive. He's 83 years old now. My mother went home to be with the Lord back in 1991, but they were married for 46 years. And, you know, nobody's perfect. My dad was not a perfect father, but at the same time, he was a good father. He was there. He provided. He was never unfaithful, not abusive in the sense that so many men are today. But all of us have our shortcomings. Amen. But what we need to do is to dwell on and be thankful for the positive things in life. So if you have a father and you have a mother, be grateful for them. Maybe they've already gone on to be with the Lord. Well, rejoice in the fact that if they believed in Jesus, you will see them again someday. You will be reunited with them. You can't change what has passed, but you can have a part to play in what will come in the future. Amen? You can believe God. You can trust God. You can honor God, and God will honor His word and He'll bless you and He'll take care of you. He'll watch over you. And in this passage of Scripture, one of the things that I want to point out to you, and I know you know this, but I want to remind you, is that Jesus points out the fact that God is not some distant entity that is not touched with the feelings of our weaknesses and our temptations and our infirmities, but He takes on the role of Father in our lives when we are born again. He becomes our Heavenly Father. The world calls Him God, but we call Him Daddy. We call Him Abba, Father. He is our Heavenly Father when we place our faith in Jesus Christ. And in verse 5, Jesus says, "When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they've received their reward in full. But when you go to prayer, go into your room." King James says, go into your closet. "Close the door and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him." Verse 8, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Please turn and look at somebody and tell them, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Amen. Verse 9 goes on to say, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, and as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now I'm reading from the New International Version, and this is just one form of what we call the Lord's Prayer. It's really the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer is found in John chapter 17, or it's the prayer the Lord prayed to the Father, to our Heavenly Father. But this is a prayer that Jesus taught the disciples. And in another place, the disciples asked Jesus, "Teach us how to pray," as John also taught his disciples how to pray. And Jesus gave them this model prayer. But verse 5 says, "When you pray, don't be like the hypocrites." Notice Jesus didn't say, "if you pray." You see, prayer should not be an option for a believer. Amen? And I want you to know the prayer is not some kind of a religious duty that you have to perform. In fact, I would hope that you would very much enjoy prayer, because prayer is nothing more than conversing with the one who loves you more than anyone else, with the one who understands you better than anyone else. Prayer is for communicating our hearts to God. It's not for the purpose of displaying our piety before men. And that's what a religious spirit will do. People who, Jesus said, are hypocrites are those who love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. He said, "I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." What is their reward? Their reward is just simply the attention and the praise of men. But all that does is feed pride. And the Bible tells us, I believe in Proverbs 16, 18, that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before fall. And so what we need to realize is that prayer, there's nothing wrong with praying publicly. There's nothing wrong with praying in church, in the synagogue, on the street corners. But he said, make sure your motive and your purpose is right. Your reason for praying is not so that men can see you and hear you. Your reason for praying is to truly communicate what's in your innermost being to the one who cares most about you, and that is indeed your Heavenly Father. Verse 6, Jesus went on to say, "But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. I like the King James Version because it says, go into your closet. And I'll tell you what, I know people who literally go into their literal closet at home. They go into their closet and shut the door and pray. I've done that before myself. Sometimes just being literal or just looking for a place for seclusion or where I won't be disturbed or whatever. Just crawl in there with the clothes, shut the door, get on your hands and knees and begin to cry out to God. The thing of it is it, even though you may not see God, He sees you. Amen? He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's all powerful. And He is your heavenly Father. And so the scripture says we should pray to the Father. This is something that Jesus taught the disciples when He was talking about prayer and when He was right before He was about to be crucified and resurrected and go back to the Father from whence He came. In John chapter 16, verse 26, verses 26 through 28, Jesus was talking about the day of His resurrection. He said, in that day you will ask in My name. In that day you will ask in My name. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father Himself loves you because you have loved Me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. You see, before they would pray and ask Jesus to pray for them. And He said, you don't have to do that anymore. You can go directly to the Father in My name. And so we need to understand when we pray, we're not praying to some idol or some distant deity. We're praying to our Heavenly Father, and we're praying to Him in Jesus' name. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews 11:6 that we need to pray in faith, because without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must first of all believe that God is, and that God is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. So God will reward you. What is your reward? It's the answer to your prayer. And so you need to go into your prayer closet, wherever that is, whatever that is. Go into your room. Go into your place of privacy and begin to pour your heart out to your Heavenly Father. Be honest with Him, because He already knows what's going on in your life. If you're disturbed or even if you're angry, there have been times in my life, and always remember this, God is perfect and you're not. Look at somebody, smile and say, God is perfect and you're not. And so I can say with a clear conscience that 100% of the time, if there's a problem in your life, it's not God's fault. Hello? Amen? We're the problem. He's the answer. Amen? He has the solution. We may not understand it, but you know what? He loves us enough and He's compassionate enough that He'll listen to us murmur and complain and pour out our complaint to Him. You should do that. If you're angry with God, I'm so mad at you, God. Now that sounds ridiculous and it really is, but if you have that emotion in you, you need to let it out. You need to get it out of you. The Bible says we're to worship God in spirit and what else? In truth, in spirit and in truth. Be truthful with God. It's ridiculous for you to try to hide anything from God. You can't. It's impossible. You cannot hide anything from the Lord. So you might as well just be open and honest and pour out your heart to Him. And Jesus said, your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. So when you pray to the Father in Jesus' name, you can expect Him to reward you and to do it openly. Verse 7 says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Now, I want to take just a moment to give you a little detail so you'll understand exactly what he's saying here. There are religions, and I'm not trying to be rude or cruel or judgmental here, but there are certain religions, different religions, that their prayers are just nothing more than recited words. They are a liturgy that they just keep repeating and repeating and repeating and repeating. Or they may have certain kinds of prayer beads or something that helped them to just keep saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. And so it's really coming out of the mind, out of the head, out of memory, instead of coming out of the heart. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that there's something terribly wrong with using a prayer bead or using a prayer book if what you're doing and what you're saying matches what's really in your heart. If it's expressing what's really in your heart, there's nothing wrong with that, because that's what prayer should be. It should be a communication of what's in your heart. But if you are just reciting a prayer and saying it over and over and over again because you think it's some kind of a magic formula, if you say it enough times, if you say it loud enough, if you say it often enough, it will get results. You see, that has nothing to do with faith. And God only honors faith, faith in His promise, faith in His Word. So that's the key element that's involved here. You need to exercise faith in what God has promised. You know, oftentimes people might need healing in their physical body, and they go, "Oh God, I'm sick. Oh God, heal me. Oh God, please. Oh God, I'm tired of suffering. Oh God, please come. Oh Lord, if it be Your will, do this. Oh Lord, please. I'm tired. Oh." And you know, they're sincere, but they're not praying the solution. They're praying the problem. They're telling God something He already knows, and they're not laying hold of the promise of God. If you're sick, then you need to find out what the Word says about your sickness, and then you need to pray the Word. When you pray for healing, you need to approach God with the positive understanding, "Lord, the adversary, the devil, has attacked my body with sickness and disease, but according to Your Word, You have forgiven all my sins and You've healed all my diseases." That's Psalm 103. And in 1 Peter 2:24, You said that by the stripes of Jesus I am healed. Therefore, I claim my healing in the name of Jesus. I submit myself to God and I resist the devil. I command him to take his hands off of me. Now, that's the prayer of faith. That's praying with authority. That's praying according to the Word of God. That's praying according to the will of God. And that's the kind of prayer that gets results. But yet the person who just prays and complains, "Oh God, I'm sick. Oh God, I hurt. Oh God, please," would be the same person that would say, "I don't believe that God heals everybody because I asked Him to and He didn't heal me. Therefore, I've come to the conclusion God doesn't heal today, or God doesn't heal everybody today, or at least He didn't heal me today." And so they base their theology on their experience rather than on what the Bible says. If you'll base your theology on what God says instead of on what you have experienced or what you think about it, you'll get more results, because God watches over His Word to bring it to pass. He does not watch over your opinion to bring it to pass. Do you understand that? And so what we need to be confessing is God's Word, God's promise. And Jesus said, when you pray, don't be like the heathen. When you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. You see, God doesn't answer your prayers because you keep on talking a lot. Amen? But don't babble like a pagan, because prayer is not meant to be recited or repeated thoughtlessly as some kind of an automatic formula. Prayer must come from the heart. It's got to be founded upon the Word of God, upon the promise of God. You need to understand that. Some of the most effective prayers that got results didn't have a lot of words, did they? I can think of one right offhand when Jesus was walking on the water, and the disciples were so fearful in the boat, they thought He was a ghost or a spirit or something. And finally, Peter mustered up the courage to say, "Lord, if that's really You, let me come to You on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." And Peter literally got down over the edge of the boat and put his feet on the water, and he started walking on the water. It was a supernatural miracle. Jesus was walking on the water. Peter was walking on the water with Him. Tremendous miracle. But at that moment, Peter began to see the waves and hear the wind blowing, and his mind, his natural senses, began to say, "You can't walk on water. This is impossible." You see, he was walking by faith instead of by sight. But when he stopped walking by faith, he started looking and seeing and hearing, and he began to sink in the water. And you know what? His prayer consisted of three words, and Jesus answered that prayer. Do you remember what those three words were? Lord, save me. That's it. That's all he could say. The next word was boop, boop. But it was a short prayer, and Jesus reached out his hand and lifted him back up on the water, and they walked back to the boat together. And so you see, your prayer's not going to be answered because it's long, lengthy. All right, we've got to say this same thing over again 50 times to get results. No, Jesus said that's like the heathen, that's like the pagan. He said, don't be like that. Then he said in verse 8, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. This is really the focal point of this message this morning, which is entitled, Your Father Knows. You see, your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And I want you to dwell for just a moment on that thought that He really is your Father. In John chapter 1, verse 12, the Bible says, as many as received Him, that is, received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, to them He gave the power and the privilege to become the sons of God, to be called the sons of God. You see, each of you listening to me right now were born into this world because you have or you had an earthly father. Your father and your mother conceived you and you were born. You were born of the flesh. You had a natural birth. Jesus said, if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. When you are born again or born of the Spirit, then God becomes Father to you. You are born of His Spirit. Just like Jesus had a physical birth, but His Father was God. His birth was miraculous. It was supernatural because the Spirit of God conceived Jesus in the womb of Mary. You are conceived in the womb of faith when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God becomes your heavenly Father. And because He is your Father, He has committed Himself to you, to watch over you, to protect you, to take care of you. In fact, in the epistle of 1 John, John makes this statement in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, and I'm reading again from the New International Version. He says, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. The King James Version says, behold, what manner of love the Father has given unto us, that we should be called the sons of God. Just think how much He loves you, that He loves you enough to call you His children. You are His sons and daughters. You are His offspring. You are the apple of His eye. You have become bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. You have become one spirit with the Lord. He is your heavenly Father. And so you don't act like you used to act. You don't live like you used to live. You don't think like you used to think. When you are born again, when you were born of the Holy Spirit, you become a new creature in Christ. Your old is passed away, and behold, all things become new, and all these things are of God, who has reconciled you unto Himself by the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ. You don't have to do the things you used to do. You don't run with the crowd that you used to run with. All things become new. I know that. I walked away from drugs. I walked away from crime. I walked away from jail. I walked away from a life of depravity. And I don't look down on people who have that or are involved in that because I was there myself. I know what it's like. And if it weren't for the grace of God, I'd probably be dead or in prison right now myself. But you see, I became a new creation. And I realize that now God is my Heavenly Father and I don't have to be that way. Your old friends are going to try to drag you down. They're going to pull you back where they are because they don't understand where you're going. But you're going to have to make the quality decision and the choice that I'm not going to be that way anymore. God has a glorious plan here for every single one of you. Every single one of you listening to me, God has a glorious plan for you, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. God has begun a good work in your life, and He'll finish it if you'll only cooperate with Him, if you'll only allow Him. There are great things that God has in store and planned for you, but you've got to cooperate with Him. You've got to submit yourself to Him. You've got to surrender yourself to Him. You've got to allow Him to be Lord in your life. I know there came a time in my life when, you know, I waffled for just a little bit and I went back to that party lifestyle, and all of a sudden I realized, you know, I've been doing this for years and all I had was depression. I had a few good times, a few high times and stuff like that, but I was just depressed. There's no future in this. And then God spoke to me from His Word. Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things that you know not of. I said, God, that's what I want. I want to see and know those great and mighty things that I don't know about now. And from that point on until this day, I don't regret one minute of serving God. Doesn't mean my life has been easy and rosy and without challenges, but I wouldn't change it or trade it for anything in the world. I am comfortable in my skin. I am who I am by the grace of God. I enjoy and appreciate everything that God has done for me and understand and realize He's not finished with me yet and He's not finished with you yet either. Amen. And as you begin to look to Him as the author and finisher of your faith, He'll bring you into your destiny as you submit yourself to Him. Now, again, Jesus said we shouldn't pray like the heathens and the pagans, and we shouldn't have to pray long prayers and recite and repeat the same things so people will see us and hear us. He goes, no, I'm going to give you a model of prayer. He says in verse 9, this then is how you should pray. And I want you to see here that He says this is how you should pray. He didn't say this is what you should pray. Are you listening to me? Now, there's nothing wrong with praying the Lord's Prayer. We do it a lot, but I want you to understand why we do it. And that's why I gave you a bookmarker with the Lord's Prayer on it, because this is a model. I'm not saying repeat verbatim this prayer. Jesus didn't say, pray this prayer, but He said, this is how you should pray. Not what you should pray, but how you should pray. So this is a model, and I want to break down this model for you. He said, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. So the first thing we need to understand is, who are we praying to when we pray? Somebody tell me, who do we pray to when we pray? We pray to the Father. We don't pray to Jesus. We don't pray to the Holy Spirit. That may come as a shock to some of you, but Jesus Himself said, you don't have to ask me anything anymore. You can go right to the Father because He has made a way for us. And so when you pray, your prayer should be addressed to your Father in heaven. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this. Pray to the Father, and you should pray to the Father in Jesus' name. I want to verify this because in John chapter 14, Jesus made this statement in verse 13. He said, I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. So we need to ask the Father in the name of Jesus. That's how we pray. So that is the model, okay? And He goes on in the 10th verse and He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, when you are praying, you should be praying to the Father in Jesus' name, and whatever it is you're praying about, you should be praying that the will of God be done and not your will be done. Now, in Matthew chapter 26, around verse 39, Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was about to be crucified within a few hours. And the Bible says he prayed so intensely that he began to sweat drops of blood. And his humanity began to say, boy, I don't really want to do this. I don't really want to go through with this. So he began to pray and he said, Father, with you all things are possible. Let this cup pass for me, this cup of suffering, this sacrifice I have. Let this cup pass for me. I really don't want to do this. This is going to be painful. This is going to be difficult. But then he said, nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And so we could see that even Jesus himself had a human nature and a human desire, just like you. There are things that we desire. And I'm not saying they're bad things or wrong things, but they're not things that are conducive to bringing about God's will in your life. So when you pray, pray to the Father, pray in Jesus' name, and whatever you pray, pray that God's will be done in that matter. You may feel like you're in love with somebody right now and you want to marry that person, and maybe it seems like everything is good. But how many of you know that you don't know that person as well as you think you do? That person doesn't know you as well as they think they do, but God knows that person thoroughly and He knows you very thoroughly. So you need to understand God loves you more than anybody else, and you can pray this way. Father, I love that person. And I want to marry that person. I want to spend the rest of my life with that person. But nevertheless, I want your kingdom to come and your will be done here on earth, even as it is in heaven. So if it's not your will for us to be together, I give you permission to separate us. If it is your will, then confirm it and let us stay together. You see, people are afraid to pray that prayer because why? Because they want their will. I like that person. I want that person. And for all the wrong reasons, maybe. Or maybe for all the right reasons. But the thing of it is you don't know the future and God does. Say amen or oh me. God knows the future. He knows your future and He loves you more than anybody else and He wants you to have the best. He wants you to have the very best. And if you'll only believe Him and trust Him, you'll get the best. If you'll wait on the Lord, He'll bring the best person into your life. He really will. If you'll just trust Him. But when you pray, Jesus said, pray this way. Number one, pray to the Father in Jesus' name. Number two, pray that God's kingdom come and His will be done. Jesus said in more places than one, in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, verse 30, chapter 6, verse 38, that He came down from heaven not to have His own way, not to do His will, but to do the will of Him that sent Him. Amen? And we should feel the same way. Lord, I want to do Your will. I want to fulfill Your destiny in my life. Then He went on to say in verse 11, give us today our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread. Now, if you're, again, this is a model prayer. This isn't a verbatim prayer. This is not a liturgy that we're praying through. It's a guideline. Give us this day our daily bread. What does that mean? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So in giving us our daily bread, we're not just talking about literal bread or food, but bread is basically what sustains us in life. And so we're asking God to give us whatever we need in this particular day to get through that day successfully. Amen? And your daily bread or your daily portion in life that day might mean I need money to pay my mortgage today. I need money to make my car payment today. I need money to pay off my utility bills. I need money for this. Or I may need a new pair of shoes. Or I may need to get a new car. Or whatever it is for that day, He said He will take care of your daily needs. If it is actually a need, He didn't say He'd meet your greeds, but He said He'd meet your needs. Amen? If it is a valid need, there's nothing wrong with you being bold and coming to the throne of grace and petitioning God for what you need. When in 2004, I bought my car and was able to pay cash for it and bought a brand new car. That's only the second new car I've ever had in my life. But a month before I bought that car and paid cash for it, I didn't have any money to pay for a car. But the problem was, I didn't have a car of my own. After going through a divorce, I lost my vehicle, and the only vehicle I had was the vehicle the church owned, and I was using it to do my ministry here. But then I found myself having to go out of town quite a bit, and I just felt that it wasn't right for me to be using the church vehicle for that kind of thing. And I said, Lord, I need a car, and I don't have any money. I don't have any money to pay for this car. I need a car. And it's a need. It's not just a desire. It is a need. And I'm asking you to meet that need in Jesus' name. And within the 30-day period of time, my grandmother in West Virginia passed away and left me enough money to buy a car and pay cash for the car. I wasn't expecting that, but it was God meeting the need through the resources that were available. Now you say, well, I don't have a rich grandmother. Well, I didn't have a rich grandmother either, but I had a grandmother that left me enough to be able to buy a car. The thing of it is I didn't have a rich grandmother, but I did have, and I did, and I do have a very rich father. Amen. And you do too. Your father is rich. He owns all the gold, all the silver, and the cattle on a thousand hills. And he will give you your daily bread. In the Old Testament, it was literal that they got manna. It came down from heaven. And they had to go out every day and gather it up in a bucket or whatever and bring it in. And if they kept it for more than a day, it spoiled and got wormy. And so they had to go out and get it every day. You know what that made them? That made them daily dependent upon the Lord. They had to go out daily and gather what God provided. Well, Jesus is saying, this is the way I want you to pray. I want you to pray, first of all, to the Father in my name. Secondly, I want you to pray that His kingdom come and that His will be done here on earth, just like it is in heaven. Thirdly, I want you to pray that God will give you your daily bread. Well, in order to get your daily portion and your daily provision, it means you need to be in daily communication with Him. What does that do? That fosters fellowship. That causes you to have to fellowship with God. Amen? I mean, if you're going to have to talk to Him about your daily portion, then you're going to have to talk to Him. Amen? And that means of necessity, you're brought to that place of fellowship and communication, of pouring your heart out to Him. And so He's saying, this is how I want you to pray. This is your attitude toward prayer. You should be asking Him for your daily bread, not for, Lord, I'm here for my monthly portion. Lord, I need my weekly portion or my monthly allotment. No, daily, daily, daily. He wants you to communicate with Him daily. Give us this day our daily bread. And then the fourth thing He says here, in verse 12, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Other translations use the word sin instead of debt. But it could be either way because our sin is a debt. Amen? And Jesus paid that debt for us. Answered prayer comes as a result of God's compassion and the forgiveness of sins. That's the very reason you and I can expect our prayers to get answered, because God has chosen to forgive us. But He also requires us to forgive others. And you realize that in forgiving others, He's also saying you need to forgive yourself. I don't know how many times I've made mistakes and I've sinned, and I've truly been sorry, and I've asked God to forgive me. And He did immediately when I asked Him, He forgave me. And you know what? It wouldn't be maybe a day or two, I would go out and commit the same sin again. And I would feel so bad. I would feel so guilty. I would feel so condemned. And I'd go back to the Lord and say, Lord, it's me again. I did it again. Forgive me again. But you know what? The Bible says when we confess our sins to God, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the psalmist said, He separates us from our sins as far as the east is from the west, to be remembered no more. And so don't you, if you've ever confessed a sin to God and then you've committed that same sin again, don't come back to God and say, Lord, it's me again. I did it again, because He has chosen to forgive and forget what you did. So to Him, it's like the first time you ever did it. What you need to do is to realize that sometimes you don't only need forgiveness, you need deliverance from something if it has a stronghold in your life. But one of the things you need to be willing to do is forgive yourself as well. You ask God to forgive you, You forgive others, forgive yourself as well. Listen, you say, I don't deserve forgiveness. Well, you don't deserve God's forgiveness either, but He's chosen to give it to you. And so if God Almighty is willing to forgive you, don't you think you ought to be willing to forgive yourself? Huh? If He's willing to, you should be willing to as well. He drops down in verses 14 and 15 and says, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. You see, forgiveness has an important role to play in whether or not we get our prayers answered. So Jesus said, when you pray, I want you to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. I want you to pray that His will be done. I want you to pray that He takes care of your daily needs. And I want you to pray for God your Father to forgive you of your sins and that you in turn will forgive others their sins, their trespasses. In verse 13 He says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Or deliver us from evil or from the evil one. It's talking about the devil. Now in the New International Version, it doesn't have this portion, but in the earlier manuscripts, some manuscripts said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. God does not lead us into temptation. How many of you know that? God doesn't tempt us. He doesn't lead us into temptation. And so Jesus is saying when we pray, we should ask the Lord to help us not to be led into temptation. God is not the one that leads us, but we're tempted by the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. The devil tries to seduce us. In the book of James, the first chapter, the 12th verse, the writer says, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when, by his own evil desire, he's dragged away and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So we see the wages of sin truly is death, still today. And so Jesus said, all right, this is the manner in which I want you to pray. This is how I want you to pray, not what. This is how I want you to pray. I want you to pray to the Father in Jesus' name. I want you to pray that His kingdom come and that His will be done here on earth in every area of your life, just like it is in heaven. I want you to pray that He meets your needs, your daily needs, your daily bread. I want you also to pray that He will forgive your sins and that you will also forgive the sins of others. Then I want you to pray that you will not be led into temptation. Now, the Father's not going to lead you in temptation. He does not tempt anybody with evil. When you're tempted, you're drawn away by your own evil desire. So pray that the Father will help you to overcome temptation. You see, it's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted in the wilderness, but He did not submit to that temptation. He did not give in to it. You're going to be tempted every day of your life to do something wrong. Every day of your life, you're going to be tempted to do something that's sinful, to lie, to cheat, to steal, to lust, to covet, whatever. The list goes on. But you're going to be tempted. What you're asking the Lord is to help you to overcome that temptation. Amen? And if you know the Word of God, you know we have a promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13 says this, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. So the Scripture is simply saying that when you are tempted, you can call on the name of the Lord and He will deliver you. He will deliver you from whatever the temptation might be. Now, one of the things, I'm just going to say this, that every one of you need to be aware of, if you have a weakness, a proclivity in a certain area, whatever it might be, I mean, I could name off a list of things here for your understanding, but whether it's drug abuse or alcohol or lust, some kind of perversion, if you know that you're weak in that area, then you need to do your part to stay away from those things. Don't go to the places where it's available. Stay off of the internet. Stay out of those places. Stay away from that stuff. And you say, but I just can't. Well, maybe you feel you can't, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And that's when you need to call on the name of Jesus. That's when you need to plead the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if that doesn't seem to be working for you, you know what you need to do? Get on the phone and call me or call somebody, call another believer, call another Christian and say, would you pray with me right now? I'm having a difficult time. And don't feel guilty or ashamed or embarrassed about that, because that's how the enemy's going to be defeated in your life. And that's the important thing. So Jesus, on this Father's Day, He's wanting to impart to you the understanding that you do have a Father, that you have a Heavenly Father, that your Heavenly Father loves you, and He wants you to communicate with Him. First of all, He wants you to come to Him with your needs and come humbly in the name of Jesus. He wants you to petition Him that His will be done in your life. Not that you have your own way, but that His will be done. His kingdom come in your life here on this earth as He has ordained it to be in heaven. He wants you to ask Him for whatever your needs are for this particular day. Your needs will change from day to day, but God's promise remains the same. He's committed to taking care of you. Amen? He wants you to ask for forgiveness whenever you need it, and He wants you to extend forgiveness whenever you need to. And He also is praying, asking you to pray that you not be led astray into temptation, but that God by His power would deliver you from the evil one, that He would deliver you from evil. And last but not least, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. We always want to establish the fact that it's not our kingdom, it's God's kingdom. Amen? It's not our power, it's His power. Amen? And He gets the glory, not us. And so your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians 4:19, and my God, which is also my Heavenly Father, which is also your Heavenly Father, shall meet all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? There isn't anything that you need in this life that God cannot and will not provide for you, because He is a loving Heavenly Father. He knows what you need before you ask Him. Isn't that incredible? I mean, we're thinking all along, I need to do this, I need to do that, but God knows what you really need. And He loves you more than anyone else. And if you'll only trust Him, you'll always come out successful. You'll always come out victorious. You'll always come out on top, because He loves you more than anyone else. And if you'll allow Him to, He'll make you a success. If you'll do it God's way, it'll get done right. Your Father knows what you need. Would you stand with me this morning? Reach out and join hands with one another. Take a moment and bow your heads. If you're listening to me on a CD right now or on the World Wide Web, you can pray right along with us. And God, I want you to know this, God is not limited by time or space. Wherever you are right now, your Heavenly Father knows what you need. Your Heavenly Father is with you right now. And your Heavenly Father has the power to meet that need through His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He has the power to heal you, deliver you, forgive you, save you, and set you free from all bondage. I want every one of you listening to me to pray this prayer with me out loud. And you mean it in your heart. Confess it with your mouth. God will truly bring it to pass. Say this with me out loud. Heavenly Father,
Heavenly Father,
I am so grateful,
I am so grateful
that I can call you my Father, Abba Father. You are my Father because I believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I have believed in my heart and confessed with my mouth that Jesus Christ is my Lord. I am born again. I am a child of God. I am a member of the family of God. And Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding me that you know everything that I need before I ever ask. Therefore, Lord, I commit my whole being into your care. I believe you want the best for me in every area of my life. So from this day forward, by faith, in Jesus' name, I commit myself to your Lordship. Lead me, guide me, direct me, provide for me, protect me, and cause me to walk in the path of righteousness that you have ordained for me. And may I fulfill my destiny completely in Christ Jesus, my Lord. And I'll give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, I pray for my brothers and sisters that prayed that prayer, Lord, that you would just seal each of them with the Holy Spirit, that you'll give your angels charge over them and keep them in all of their ways, that they would walk worthy of the calling that you have called them with, and that, Lord, they would be fruitful and bring forth much fruit for your glory. And, Lord, from this day forward, may we always be mindful that we can come to you and pray, for you are our Father in heaven. We declare your kingdom to come and your will be done here on earth, even as it is in heaven. We thank you for giving us this day and every day our daily bread and forgiving us our debts, our sins, even as we forgive those who sin against us. We thank you, Lord, that you do not lead us in temptation, but you deliver us from our adversary, the devil. You deliver us from evil. You deliver us from the evil one. And Lord, we just thank you that yours indeed is the kingdom and the power and the glory now and forevermore in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen, and give the Lord a praise. Amen. Hallelujah.